Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello and welcome to the Music of Marriage with
Bob
and Evie. And we are on our way to San Jose with the 38th Music of Marriage radio show. And we had kind of a Valentine emphasis the last time, and that's a week behind us now. So now we can forget about love, right? Nope. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking of, what do we talk about next? I guess it's a topic you don't really run out of ideas when you actually sit and think about it. Think of how many poets and musicians, creative types, but even homemakers, they think about, I mean, love is a driving force for baking these beautiful, what are these things, Daryl? Some sweet lady here brought in these homemade
peach
fried pies.
Yes, fried pies. That was listener Paula McCord. Nice. You caught me right in the middle of a fried pie.
I know, and I have one in front of me, but I'm giving it to Bob. I took one bite. It's really good.
Paula says she tunes in to the Music of Marriage.
I know.
And like you guys, she wrote the book on marriage too. She had a wonderful marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
She's doing something right.
But you see, love just, it's like this ball that never stops, snowball, it never stops, right? It finds a way somewhere to add more snow to it. So yeah. This was one thing that she did. And
we traded her a fried pie for a brownie.
Yeah.
Because Evie made brownies.
She did.
Almond flour and coconut sugar brownies. That's
secret
for,
recipe.
That's for the... health, the whatever. That's
thanks,
for my
thanks
husband.
Thanks to Paula and Evie, Bob. You and we hit the lottery today.
We sure did.
Yeah.
But that
keeps love going. You know, sometimes it's not these mega love songs on the radio, but you can feel that just taking a bite of this homemade beautiful food that someone took the time to toil over.
Yeah.
And part of what we're going to, our kind of title today is called The Real Love Triangle, Faith, Hope, and Love, because those three are, faith and hope are the base of the triangle. The corner on the left is faith, the corner on the right is hope, or you can switch them, it really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But they are the base that holds up. The pinnacle is love, because the Bible says the greatest of these is love.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about faith as a lifestyle, hope as a lifestyle, and love as a lifestyle. And sometimes we think it's the big grand things that everybody hears on the radio, the grand songs and the grand movies or poetry.
The grand romances.
But it's like that one song I wrote that loves the little things, which is really kind of big. I mean, to sit there in your kitchen and work hard like she did to bring that in.
Yes.
And these are things that happen in our lives and in our home that we do for each other in our marriages, too, every day. So it's kind of fun. It's what makes the world go round. Isn't there a song, Love Makes the World Go Round?
I think
something like that.
Song or
if
saying.
There isn't, it should be.
Should be one, right?
No, there is.
Yeah, I know John Prine does one. And I think that title has been done maybe more than once.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the pinnacle of triangle is love, which can't stay elevated without support from faith and hope. So.
And this gives us perspective, by the way.
Yeah.
Because if you just talk about love as a subject in and of itself, it needs support. As perfect as love is in its true, rare form, it needs the support of faith and hope. And the beauty of faith, hope, and love is that if you lack any one of them, you can get to the other one just by using one. You can get to hope.
Stay in that love triangle.
Yeah, stay in the love triangle.
And so when the one falters, the faith corner falters, then go over to hope. Well, maybe I can at least have hope for faith.
Right.
You know? I don't have faith for hope. I have hope for love. Yeah. Everybody wants love. But that's the pinnacle.
And even if you don't have faith and hope, if you start with love, the Bible says that love never fails, which brings you to faith and hope, right?
That's right.
So anyway, that's...
So in the time that we have, you could talk for really hours and days and years about this, but the first one of the supporting factors of love triangle is faith, and to think about faith as a lifestyle, I think, is useful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a few things like, what is faith and why is faith necessary to support the love triangle? And like Bob said, without faith you can't have hope. And the Bible says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
There you go.
So how do you have assurance of something you're hoping for, say in your marriage, when it's just not there? I mean, it's really not there.
Yes. Well,
but God says it is right. Possible.
But it's not a leap in the dark kind of faith, like, well, I'm just putting it out there and I hope for the best. It's actually grounded by assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. That means it actually is sure that it will bring the hope that you're looking for.
How do you be sure of that?
Well, the second half of that verse says it's also the conviction of things not seen. So it's tough to have assurance when you can't see something, but that's where faith is not it's seeing with spiritual eyes, not physical eyes.
Yes, there's the definition in the notes in that Bible we read that verse from in Hebrews 11. And the commentary there says, only faith, as it receives the promises of God, can see the future and have that hope. Because faith is the means by which we lay hold of Christ and the blessings that he brings. So it's the receiving. Really, faith is not something we have to womp up. It's not something that you have if you went to church all your life. It's not something you have if you never drank alcohol. It's not something you have if you were a good person. Faith is receiving. As we receive the promises of God, then we can see the future. God's always talking to us with his love language, saying, hey, this is what I have for you. Hey, your marriage can be better. Hey, your family relationship can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I am love. You don't need to have this unrest between you and your spouse, or between you and your in-laws, or between you and your country. Talk about unrest these days. Come on, people, let's get together, love one another. What is that? But seriously,
she writes songs on the fly.
Love is, it's a very active thing. It's bouncing around like ball, and we're like, what are we doing with all this civil unrest? And it starts, in our hearts, as we talked about. But faith for something better, to fix any of our divisions. And okay, we're talking about marriage, so we receive God's promise. We say, you know what, you promised this, so I'm going to rely on you. And how can we be sure? Because God is sure and unfailing, right? Like we said before, God is faithful.
He is, and we live in this is not a world of flesh and blood and wood and stone and, air, sea, earth, and sky. We live in an eternal continuum on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus said. And our destiny is defined by whether we live in the presence or absence of God, essentially. So when it comes to our faith and its effect on our daily lives, the presence tied to the future. How we perceive the future affects how we think and act in the present.
So a lot of times what you believe whether you have hope or not, I've heard people say, well, frankly, I see no hope for the situation. Well, frankly, then they're not seeing Jesus.
Right.
You know, so frankly, look at Jesus, and then you'll have hope for any situation. He raised himself from the dead. I think he can handle our situations. So the next thing is, if you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Isaiah 9.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty powerful.
We're just, when we study these things, this is for our own benefit too, and it's hopefully going to encourage you that the answers are right there for us, that they're on a silver platter waiting for us to pick it up like this nice fried pie and take a bite and enjoy it. And another thing Jesus said is, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith.
If you have faith, he said.
If you have faith.
That's the big if.
So that right there pretty much confirms that you can stand assured that things can turn from 180 degrees to the better direction. And then what we're going to talk about in the next section is, and in the final section, love and how it demonstrates itself. Those things start to appear kind of like in the spring, the bulb that's under the ground that's hidden. We don't mm-hmm. see what's going on right now, but in a couple weeks we're going to see tulips and things shoot up. Well, I've seen a few daffodils, but sometimes what we do in our heart with this faith and hope thing is like that bulb underground that's very active, and it's going to shoot up this beautiful bloom that we're going to enjoy in the spring of love.
Mm-hmm.
But what, like this love triangle thing, that pinnacle of love would be nowhere without that flower is not happening without what's going on in the secret underground of our hearts, right? The faith and
right.
the hope. So that's something to really nurture and think about it as a lifestyle. And I've employed that more, and I've had some, and I'm sure everybody out there listening have had some quote-unquote impossible situations or incredibly painful situations mm-hmm. with family and split-ups and your children, whatever, and it's absolutely the most painful stuff people go through with relational breakups or separations like that. And I just started praying my head off in the middle of the night. I was rattling the gates of heaven like nothing. And God did what I asked for.
Mm-hmm.
He did what was, even the person who left that marriage said, this is final, this is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I said to myself, yeah, not so fast, buddy, I'm going to go to the gates of heaven and rattle them in prayer. And do I know what's going to happen? It could be a waste of words, a waste of my night sleep time, but it worked.
It wasn't me, by the way.
It wasn't Bob. It was some other wonderful
I'm not patting
person.
Myself on the back. I'm just clarifying.
I'm just trying to say how that, you know, even when you pray, it's like, is it just bouncing off the, you know?
Yeah,
but
right.
But we know that God is there. We know he hears, so we can, our lifestyle can incorporate more prayer for our situations. I think that's one way of exercising faith as a lifestyle.
And there are rewards, right, to faith and marriage. There's what do you get as a reward? You get, first of all, inner peace. You get confidence that God can do the impossible. Assurance that you can arrive at hope and actually learn to love someone who is unlovable.
And that is why John Hyatt's album, Bring the Family, has a song called Have a Little Faith.
Yeah, that's
well,
what we're
and Jesus from. Said even the faith as small as a mustard seed, which is the tiniest of seeds out there, can move a mountain. So be encouraged. It doesn't take much faith. That's why Jesus tells us things like that, to give us hope, right?
That's right.
So this is Have a Little Faith.
Thank you. gets dark and you can no longer see, just let my love throw a spark and have a little faith in me. And when the tears you cry
back with the Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie, and we're talking about the faith, hope, and love triangle. And it's a necessary triangle. All support one another, and you can get to any one of those by going through one. Very interesting, huh? Anyway, we're talking about hope now in this section. And what is hope, and why is hope necessary to support that love triangle? Well, healthy marriages stay healthy because they understand both the cyclical or changing nature of marriage as well as the permanent nature of marriage. And the permanent nature is already built in to marriage as a creation mandate by God. The cyclical or changing nature of it is what we experience on a daily basis. And we need hope for both. So, people in marriages expect challenges and need to change as they work on the truth-love connection. We always need truth with love. We need to speak the truth with love. And the grace and forgiveness connection. There needs to be some give and take, and certainly more grace than not. and forgiveness when it is needed. Any one of those withheld short-circuit love. So, and hope really fuels all of that stuff, because it helps you to operate out of the awareness that the spiritual life within us is the basis for lasting love in a relationship. Every single person operates out of some form of spiritual awareness, choosing to be in step with God's way or their own way or another way. So many times we've heard it said, after a marriage breakup, it just didn't work out. But, you know, relationships don't just fail to work out. At least one person in the marriage didn't work it out and cut God's redeeming power out of the equation. And that's what happened. That's what happens when any one of these elements in the love triangle is missing: faith, hope, or love. And so it's an important thing to remember. Romans 5:2 has a very interesting thing to say about the power of hope. Listen to this. It says, "And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." So that's quite a string of positive things that, you know, we tend to lose hope when we're involved in suffering in our marriage, or when we've been really hurt, and especially if it's an ongoing thing. But if we allow our suffering to turn into something opportunistic, then all of a sudden as soon as we make that decision, we've done something to our character that is permanent and will endure. And so, as the verse says, you know, we'll never be put to shame if we have hope because of what it produces. And the key is, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so we're without excuse for not having faith in what God did, and having hope, which faith enables, and having love, because God's love has been given to us. And all we have to do is give it back, right, Evelyn?
That's correct, Bob. And as we are talking about what is hope, I think Bob was kind of explaining what it is and why is it necessary, explained that as well. But then how do we apply hope in marriage? And one thing that we can realize is there actually are not marriage problems. Did you know that? The good news is there are no marriage problems. But there are spiritual problems, because marriage is merely an extension of our religion, as some people would call it, our Christian life, our heart. And so actually, you know, it's really interesting when you see how different people handle the same problem. And some people can go through it and they find a way to fix it, you know. We all run into problems in life or in marriage, and then all of a sudden we're stuck with a situation that seems insurmountable, or there are different opinions about what to do about the situation. So it's how we handle those problems, though, that is how we apply hope to the situation. Well, we had faith. We do faith, and then we apply faith. We have hope now. We do hope. Practice having hope. Practice not saying, this is an impossible situation, it's just a mess and it can't be done. But say, well, you know, maybe even it might not be perfect, but it still has a lot of value.
And have hope in your words. In other words, if you say, my husband will never change, or my wife will never change, Well, that lacks a lot of hope right there.
You should never say, actually.
In fact, it lacks faith as well. And if that's the case and you really believe that, then you're going to have a hard time loving your husband and winning him back, and vice versa.
And never underestimate God's ability to produce a change in any of us, in ourself or in the other person. And mm-hmm. a lot of times just backing off of a problem situation and not pushing and insisting on your own way as to how things will go, but you know, like I said before, just even praying in that moment, it's amazing how things can then start to shift, and what is a tight knot of a situation can become relaxed, and you can move on, because God actually functions in that way, and it's automatic that when we do what he says, and that is have humility, those fruits of the Spirit we're talking about, patience and gentleness. So when we are encountering this obstacle, that we have different perspectives what to do about it, rather than just continue to make the knot more of a bigger knot, it becomes relaxed as soon as one, or preferably both parties, say, hey, you know, let's pray about this, or let me just be quiet and not insist on my way. And a lot of times the power of prayer is pretty amazing too. You can pray over the dumbest seeming things, or things that you would think God might not care about, little practical things that need to be fixed, and all of a sudden they do get smoothed out, or our attitude gets smoothed out. So that's mm-hmm. kind of the application of hope in marriage. And then there's the reward of hope, which
there are three rewards, actually. One is possibilities, another is permanence, and another is being proactive. So, you know, with possibilities, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible, as the verse says. And either we believe that by faith or we don't, and, you know, both will yield a different result. The other is permanence. God designed marriage to last. So that's why he commands us not to break the marriage bond.
Because, so that's a reward of hope.
Yeah, it is.
Right?
If we live in light of his purpose for our marriage, then we won't break the marriage bond. We made a pact earlier on in our marriage where we said that we will never use the D word under any circumstances. And you know what? We didn't. We really didn't after 47 years of marriage. And that's really huge to make that commitment from the very beginning, and to really stick by it and say, nope, that word isn't coming out of our mouth. And when that's the case, and because that was the case, whenever things got really tough, we relied on God. And we said, we've got to find a way with God's all things are possible. So, God,
and that's the proactive thing. That's the action, the pro, that is moving forward, pro, positive action that you can take to, and sometimes it'll be little things over the course of time that can change. You know, marriage is like the Titanic out there on the ocean, and you want to turn a big ship around. It's a very slow and incremental process, but you continue doing, like we've talked about, the next right thing and all. So your reward for exercising faith and hope is that it supports love, the pinnacle of the love triangle. Mm-hmm. And it actually, when you have faith and hope, you're going to take proactive, positive, you're going to stop yourself from that hopeless, helpless feeling, mm-hmm. because you're going to say, you know what, God has the power to do this, and he's promised, and I'm going to rely on that, and I'm going to expect it.
And those promises are real, so therefore your hope is just as real. You know, but being proactive, it takes vigilance, to be proactive. It takes diligence. It takes fortitude and trusting in God. And what's the dictionary? We looked up proactive in a dictionary, and it says creating or controlling a situation by causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it has happened. Example, be proactive in identifying and preventing potential problems. Okay, so that's one a great example, you know, short circuit or preempt problems before they even occur. And that takes a certain mindset that we don't want problems in our marriage, so we've got to look at the things that tend to create problems. Are they provocations? Are they mood swings? You know, right, Abby?
Only you would know. Just kidding. Why did I say that? I don't know. I was drifting. Sorry. I was lost in the depth of wisdom, plumbing the depths of all the knowledge you were giving. Okay. So, but those are the, you know, rewards, really, of having hope as a lifestyle and starting to, you know, incorporate that into your thought processes as you look at your, you know, daily life situations, and it makes a big difference. So the Carpenter's song, We've Only Just Begun, kind of alludes to that, I would think. You know, it has a very positive outlook. That was one of my most wonderful albums, was the Carpenters.
Well, so, the words are excellent.
Yes, they are. So we've only just begun.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises, a kiss for luck and we're on our way.
We've only begun
before the rising sun.
Welcome back to the Music of Marriage with Bob and Evie. And this week, the love triangle, where love is the pinnacle, the foundation of love. The base is fear. I'm not fear. Faith. Whoops.
That's the opposite of
yeah.
faith.
Well, I was going to mention that's the opposite of faith, correct? So faith and hope are the bottom of the pinnacle of the love triangle. And they support that pinnacle of love. Love is the greatest of these. So what we have here is then, what is love and why is love the pinnacle? Well, we've talked often about what love is, and we often mistakenly feel like it's up to us to produce that feeling of love or to generate love in our marriage. But that the essence, the origin of love is God. God says he is love. We are made in his image, and that's why we even desire love. A lot of what we do instinctively, intuitively, and naturally, because we're created in the image of God, it reflects his character, but it also shows us why we need to be connected to him as the power source for love
in our
life.
Because not only does the divine impact the human when it comes to love, but human love is incomplete without divine love.
That's right.
Divine love has no earthly counterpart, and it doesn't have any limits either, like the fluctuating variety we often display, correct?
Right, like, you know, based on how we look today, our mood of the day, our bank balance of the day,
yeah,
or of the year, or of the decade, mm-hmm. or of the decades, you know. These things can make us think, oh, did I marry the right person, you know? Well, you always married the right person because you never have the wrong God. So if you've got God, he can really totally change people. It's quite amazing. And I've seen it in family, friends, relatives, where you look at the situation and you think, wow, yeah, that's a walk-away situation, which, of course, isn't how we should be thinking, because that doesn't display faith or hope. So it kind of, again, like we said before, it cuts God out of the equation. So the hope of love as a lifestyle, the practical outworking of it, as based on faith, it eliminates that fear factor. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we'll read books on marriage or we'll hear talks on marriage. And Bob and I, having been married, you know, 46 plus years, we look at these books sometimes and we say, that's not really what we rely. If I relied on you doing these exact things for me, forget about it. If you relied on me, it would just be very discouraging and become like a list of laws, very legalistic.
Yeah.
And I know that in Christendom, Religionville, whatever your view of Christianity is, a lot of people get that vibe from the preaching or their surroundings, their family, whatever they grew up with, that it's like this stern, you know, to-do list. And God is not that kind of a person.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, that's okay, then do whatever you want. But he's not that guy. He's not that stern whoever it was in your life who's pointing the finger or being overly strict and exasperating you and venting on you when you make mistakes. That's not the God that will help you in your marriage, because that's not God. God is love. And so the good news is, and what we've experienced is, we're free from those laws and that legalism, as some people call it, where, oh, well, this marriage book, I found if I read one of those books, I suddenly start expecting my husband to, you know, bring home flowers at least once a week or whatever the list of things are that a lot of the marriage books say you should do. Not that they're not great ideas for you, but we can come to rest our hope on the wrong things then. And then that creates a fear factor, a burden. And, oh, if I don't do what's in this book, oh, no, you know, I'm in trouble. It can create a faithless factor and a fear factor. And, of course, that isn't what's going to support that love triangle, where love is the pinnacle. We're not to look at each other's performance or failures or even and expect our spouse to perform up to mm-hmm. our standards, or even God's standards as we understand them. If our marriage is built on the performance of our spouse, then we're missing the whole point of marriage, because the point of marriage is to imitate the relationship of God to his people, which is what he said when he created it.
In fact, that is literally a commandment. Jesus said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So he not only gave us a commandment, but he gave us a standard. And 1 John 3 said, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. So you see, expressing love is assumed in this verse, but demonstrating it is required. And how do you demonstrate love? Besides feeling bound to a legalistic approach, which is really not the spirit of love. Well, that's a good question. That's what everyone needs to fill in the blanks on.
And the reward of love in marriage, we talked about the reward of faith, the reward of hope, the reward of love. We came up with these three ideas: positive vibes, your purpose fulfilled, and platinum record of benefits. You know, you the ripple effect of each right thing that you do, each loving thing, mm-hmm. each faith-based and hope-based thing that you do, will have a ripple effect, and that will snowball.
Yes.
So that's why we picked this song, Never Break, by John Legend.
Which we're going to end with today.
That's right. And feel free to go to our website, themusicofmarriage.com. Our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing, is there.
And some of these podcasts are also up from our radio shows. They're starting to get all them up. So
that's right. Thank you, Daryl, for your hard work making this happen.
Yep.
Thank you for our brownies and our fried pies. And thank you guys for another Music of Marriage.
You got it.
Have a good one.